Na 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 sar.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday. What the hell is today? Sometime in history. September the 8th, 2010. No, that's not what that says. 2016. I'm Morps, and this is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and apparently getting my eyes checked. Tonight, I am drinking a lot. what is this? This is Red Stag. I am drinking Red Stag. Madman, you drink as much as I do. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dirty Bastard by Founders. It's a Scotch ale.
Oh, I thought you were doing something else for a moment there.
Yeah, I haven't got that desperate for money yet.
Suave, have you gotten that desperate for money yet?
Actually, I'm just drinking water tonight.
What?
Just drinking water.
No, I heard you. I was making sure I understood you.
Delicious H2O.
Hydrogen Ooh. Monoxide, it'll kill you.
Oh, it'll kill you 1,000 different ways.
Oh, yeah. That stuff's dangerous.
BandiHydrogenMonoxide.com. Everyone check it out. They make a compelling argument.
Kills more people than smoking, from what I hear.
Yep. It's in 100% of cancers.
I understand. Anyone who's ever consumed it has died.
True.
At
or
some
will
point.
Die.
Or will die, yes.
It's used in like 98% of industrial products. It's a solvent.
God, I love that site. That is so much fun. Especially for people who don't know what it is. So the first article up is from The Verge, and we're going to talk about the Apple headphone jack. So... obviously, I just dumped all the show notes into both chat rooms as opposed to cut and pasting the URLs. I wish I had thought to do that last week when I was doing the show solo, because then that would have saved me a lot of dead air. Of okay, hang on, copy, paste. Okay, here we go. I normally do that shit while somebody else is talking. It's hard to do when you're doing the show alone. So I don't think any of us are on iPhones anymore, at least not on this panel. I'm not. I'm fairly certain Madman never was.
Nope. Well, I've always been a Galaxy.
Suave, have you? You mean Android?
Yeah. No. I've pretty much shunned everything. All Apple products. So okay.
I mean, nope. I've used.
I actually
iPhones
can say Galaxy.
I've had them.
I've always had a Galaxy smartphone.
What the? That little thing of yours was a Galaxy?
Yep.
Huh.
It's a Galaxy.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they got quite a few varieties of those things.
Well, I mean, I've been back and forth between Android and iPhone enough times, but it's interesting. So, I mean, you know, of course, the obvious one, they're making it water resistant. No, that's not. Yeah, although like... I do wonder about those little red moisture dots they put all over the inside of phones, because the S7. Line they're supposed to be fairly water resistant. You know, you always see the ad with them like sitting the phone in a puddle.
yeah. The Galaxy Life, I think it is. They mm-hmm. submerge that thing in a fish tank and just time how long it takes to die.
Yeah,
it hasn't.
Yeah, it takes a long time because they've gotten fairly good at waterproofing these things, and so now they're saying that the 7 is waterproofed as well. But Apple was one of the most notorious ones about, oh, nope, we see the red sticker. That's moisture damage, not covered.
True.
So, but I actually never did the Apple complete care. I always just did the carrier insurance, and that seemed to work out for me. So, you know, because it's like, you want to pay $200 more in case you break your phone? I mean, it's just like, I've busted plenty of Android phones. I've actually never broken an iPhone. I know several people who have. Don't misunderstand me. I just personally have never busted one.
Yeah.
So. But Anyways, so apparently
it's an iPhone. If you dropped it, the Earth would move out of its way.
Oh, okay. Is that how that works?
Yep.
I thought it was Apple shat something out, people stood in line for it, and then, you know, you didn't question it. But
it's got some great games on it, like Send Me to Heaven. Everyone should download that one and play it.
So I will say this, the applications available on iOS for doing audio work blow most of what Android has well out of the water. That is true. Everything else, though, I get a lot more shit done on the Android than I do the iPhone, especially with my job. So I've gone Android, tried to go back to iPhone, gone Android again. It's just like, fuck it, I can't. Yeah, I've got to have a shell. I've got to be able to, you know, run a terminal. I've got to be able to
And when you get into like ridiculous things like having DRM on like charging cables and stuff like that.
They rolled that back pretty quick, didn't they? So here's the question. In all seriousness, they took the headphone jack off the new phone to make it thinner, ostensibly. Other than breaking compatibility with most of your existing wired headsets, they're including apparently they're including the adapter just to plug straight into the port on the bottom of the phone, or, you know, give you a headphone jack again. So other than the goofiness of a dongle,
and of course you would never ever want to charge your phone while using the audio jack.
Oh, that's the best thing. Gizmodo has the first accessory that has been announced for it, which is, I believe, Belkin is making it, and it's just a one lightning port to two lightning port adapter so you can charge and use your headphones at the same time. It's $40, and it looks stupid. Yeah, it's second link in the notes there. It looks silly. It's, you know, this huge thing, and it's like a 2-inch cord that hangs off the bottom of the phone. Oh, and, yeah. I mean...
So now you got to double up the dongles just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's... That's what you need. Then you got to carry that stuff around with you.
Well, that does solve one issue I thought was going to arise when they got rid of the headphone jack. A lot of small businesses have got those little square things you plug into a phone to run debit cards and credit cards. iPhones weren't going to be able to do that anymore.
Congratulations, Madman. You just picked up on where I was going with this.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, why is Apple ripping off Motorola's idea? Because they rip off everyone's ideas.
No, we know that. I wasn't going to care about that.
Okay. Well, Motorola's the first one to remove the jack, if anyone was wanting to know.
Yeah, you can get your audio over USB-C. Now, okay. If we're in very real, practical terms, there's a nice benefit to removing the jack, and that's the phone does not have to have an integrated DAC. However, because it has a speaker on the bottom of the phone, it has one anyways.
Pretty much.
So it's kind of dumb to remove it. But so it's an all-digital connection, which means the DAC, the digital audio translator there, or coupler, connector, whatever you want to, you know, say it stands for, the little bit of circuitry that's going to take the digital signals and make your speakers move, at least on higher-end headphones, can now be integrated directly with the headphones, which means they can tune it specifically to the drivers, you know, the correct EQ. And, you know, they're including an adapter right out of the gate to give you a regular headphone jack again, which means, like, the analog hole still exists, because there's a whole bunch of Linux forums right now just going absolutely nuts about how this is going to mean DRM, and how if you try to plug an unsupported audio device into the phone, it's going to shut down. Sort of like what HDMI does, where if, you know, you're not using the right certified equipment, it you know, degrades the picture quality, or you don't get audio or some bullshit like that. So, which absolutely is a possibility, because they're trying to get rid of the analog hole.
Yeah.
But at some point, to make a speaker, it eventually becomes signal. It eventually becomes analog. So if I really wanted to get around one of these DRM chips, I would buy a supported set of headphones, clip the speakers off, solder a headphone jack on it, and then record it anyways, right?
Yeah.
So, is it a more of a hassle? Absolutely. Is it stupid to have this little dongle so that you can charge your phone and listen to your headset at the same time? Yeah. I think probably the biggest thing here is simply saying to everybody, no, it's fine. We think it's high time you bought a new pair of headphones. We don't care that you just bought the, you know, fantastic pair of Bose or Sennheisers or, you know, fuck, even Beats, you know, any pair of headphones that cost $200 or more, right?
Yeah,
we don't care about that. We think it's time you bought the Apple headphones that work with the Apple devices.
Yep.
Because they can sell you new accessories. They can sell you all the dongles so you can actually hook shit up to the phone still. They can sell you, you know, this stupid Belkin adapter, which is just a Y adapter, right? And it's $40. I give it a month after the phone comes out before you see all the cheap Chinese knockoffs on Amazon and eBay of, you know, the dodgy adapters that sometimes work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I give it like a month after the phone comes out before you can get them for $5 off Amazon or eBay.
Probably.
So,
you know, like, one thing I will say is, like, you know, I can definitely see a point in time when, like, wireless headphones and stuff like that become the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But we are definitely not there yet. I don't know. Like, I've played around with a few different sets, and I've tried a few different ones, and none of them have really held up to just a good solid wired connection.
No, they haven't. And, you know, I use Bluetooth in the car, and it's nice because I don't have to take my phone out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where I get pissed off enough at it that I finally just give up and grab an aux cord.
Yeah.
And it's usually to do with volume. But that's, you know, a different thing. But the thing here is, so Apple has decided they are not putting a headphone jack, and everybody's losing their fucking mind over it. To the point, there's even a website, third link I have in the discussion, appleplugs.com. They're sitting there parroting it. They're talking about how to bring your iPhone 5 and 6 up to date with the iPhone 7. And it's obviously a rendering. And it looks like somebody cut the jack off of a or cut the plug off of a headset.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plug it into the iPhone and it will block the headphone jack just to bring your phone up to date with the latest and greatest. Now, that said, the idea of being able to plug decent digital audio, like a sound card, into your iPhone, iPad over the USB connection, that's actually not new. In the audio production world, they sell these stupid expensive iPad docks or iPhone docks that let you plug. They plug into the dock port or the digital port, the lightning port, whatever you want to call it. And they give you like a high-end USB sound card. And the phone will recognize it and use it. I know this because I have a couple of the things floating around. I've also taken a USB, the camera connector kit for an iPad, and hooked a, what's that card? Tascam. Look, I can't remember. It's the Tascam card. But it's a USB sound card so that I could hook the iPad into a mixer more cleanly than using the headphone jack. So, in philosophical terms, it's not user-friendly, it's stupid, and you're guaranteeing I will never buy an iPhone 7.
What problem are they attempting to solve by removing the headphone jack anyway?
Making the phone a little smaller and equating it to a floppy drive. They're saying, oh, it's old, so we don't need it anymore.
I love it. It's old, but look at all these brand new devices that interact with it.
Well, and then you have things that I doubt Apple has thought of, like you mentioned earlier, Madman, the credit card readers. Now, those things go through the headphone jack because, for anybody who doesn't know, the little mag stripe on the back of the car, on the back of your credit card, that's the exact same tape that you used to buy that had music on it, like audio cassettes. That is the exact same technology. And for the most part, the tracks on the tape with the back of the card are the same size. In fact, if you dig around a little bit, you can find guides for turning old tape recorder or tape, not recorders, but tape
players.
Tape players into card readers. And if you've ever popped open one, like one of those little cubes that they sell. It's basically a tape head, jacked in place so that when you swipe the card, it can read it. And I believe I have seen something out there actually for using a tape recorder to change the data on the card. Like rewriting hotel keys so you can use them as credit cards kind of shit.
That's
seriously
nice.
That's where some of that shit comes from.
They sell them a lot on eBay.
Oh yeah. So you know what's going to happen is they're going to have to that little credit card adapter, which costs like $5 and lets restaurants and food trucks and I'm not that far out of Nashville. The amount of catering places and food trucks that rely on those little iPad with a cube on it to be their cash register, because nobody uses cash hardly anymore, at least not around here. You're now telling them, that little $5 adapter, no, fuck you, you got to buy a $40 adapter now, because that's what it's going to cost, because it's going to have all the audio circuitry inside the adapter. Although maybe not $40, but that's what they're going to charge for it, because they can. So, but
with the
go ahead, Mehmet.
Get around that issue?
Say what?
Didn't you say at the beginning of the story they are putting an adapter in there to act as a headphone jack right now?
It might. See, that's the question. Is it going to show up in the app the same way a headphone jack does? Because I'm sure that thing is taking a little bit more control because it's reading a magnetic signal and it has to interact with the headphone jack a little bit more than just playing a sound. I doubt it's just using the standard Apple libraries, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it might, but you don't know. But so you mentioned earlier that Motorola has put out a phone that doesn't have a headphone jack on it. How well has that thing sold?
I don't think Motorola in general sells particularly well in the States anymore. When it comes to smartphones, it's down to almost just Apple and then Samsung. Those are the two big ones.
Well,
everyone else
also the
doesn't
Nexus
really
line.
Matter.
There's Apple, there's Samsung, there's the Nexus line. LG makes a good line of phones. And then there's a handful of other Android manufacturers. But yeah, I mean, the Motorola phone that doesn't have a headphone jack, I mean, you just saw it. It sells. It's like nothing. So, I don't know, man. I don't see this. I don't see this as a fantastic move on Apple's part. But I just means I'm not planning on buying one.
Yeah, it's really not a big deal. Like that's exactly it. Yeah, if you don't like it, don't buy one. No problem.
And of course, you have all the Apple fanboys losing their mind because they don't know what to do. It's like, well, it's called objectively evaluating a product. I think iPhones are perfectly good phones. I don't happen to like some of the selection of applications on it. I don't particularly like how closed off the ecosystem is when it comes to getting my job done. Because I have been in the barbershop getting a haircut and had to, answer calls from work and SSH in from my fucking phone and start fixing shit. That's not as easy to do on an iPhone because it doesn't let you change out the keyboard to, I think the newer versions actually do, but the older version certainly wouldn't let you change out the keyboard to one that actually had control and tab and other keys that are quite handy on a Linux command line.
Yeah.
So, my Android Termux to have an SSH client and swap out the keyboard for the hacker keyboard so I can actually type. And, I was able to do my job from my phone.
Buy the tool for what you need. One upside to Apple, and I hate to give them an upside because I don't like Apple, when they're pushing that much control over their platform, it also puts a lot of stability in the product. The apps
it does.
Work it, exactly the way they're supposed to work.
It does, and I will say you are much less likely to get malware on an unjailbroken iPhone than you are on a unrooted Android device. Once you jailbreak or root either device, all bets are off because they'll run anything at that point. But in their stock state, where you've not rooted the Android or you've not jailbroken the iPhone, you are less likely to get malware on the iPhone. But that's because it's much more locked down. It's much more controlled. And it's just a question of, are you okay with that? And apparently a lot of people are. But, you have a lot of people who won't consider not getting that phone and getting something else an option, which is sad, because it's like, it's called consumerism. Pick the best damn product. Don't just pick whatever Apple shovels out. And, you know,
there's a lot of people out there who just don't care about having that level of control over their device. You know, it's true. Just another appliance, and, you know, as long as it works, they're happy.
Depending on what you do, an appliance is fine. I don't do anything off the wall on my phone. It can be as locked down as it wants to be. I'll still be able to make phone calls. I'll still be able to make texts. It will still give me directions, which are the three things I use a phone for. But if you want something that you can actually control, you don't want something locked down. And some jobs require it, and some people just like it because they like fucking around with phones. Or most of those people just like fucking around with anything.
I just like fucking around. Couldn't help it. Oh no, we said fucking. We can't be monetized on YouTube. Wait.
Oh. Gun. Shit. What else can I say that would get us not monetized?
Do the whole George Carlin line. Shit, damn motherfucker. Oh shit, I forgot the seven things you can't say on TV. Because he had it down. Anyways, doesn't matter. Oh, that reminds me. Did you see Crowder's video on not getting monetized?
Probably.
Oh, that was fucking funny. He was going through, and like he was saying, "And I'll watch out for that yellow bastard. When I see one coming, I get on the other side of the road." And then they pull up, and then he's talking about a yellow car.
Oh,
it's like.
The racist one, no, I haven't watched that yet, but it's posted. I'm going to see it here pretty soon.
Oh, you have got to watch that. It is hilarious, and it is worth watching to the end. Because he goes through all these, you know, the common double meanings of these words. And he does a fairly good job of it. And then at the end, he's like, there's a problem with that tranny. Get out of there! You know, he's looking at his car, right? And then under the hood of his car is what's the other guy's name? Not gay, whatever.
Not gay, Jared. dressed as a chick.
Tranny.
Yeah, it's because he's gay as fuck.
Yeah. It's just like... Well, worth watching. Anyways, I'm more laughing at the whole YouTube thing because... we've talked about it already, I think, on the show, but...
Yeah, two shows ago, I believe.
You know, so YouTube wants to run a PG-13 lockdown, no offensive opinions for the advertisers. But they're not pulling the videos down, they're just saying you can't monetize them.
Well, it's not even that it's PG-13. I'm cool with it's PG-13, but they're going with a political slant on what they allow to be monetized and what they don't.
Well, that's kind of shitty.
And that's my whole problem with it.
I thought they were just going after anyone who cursed too much or used racial words or whatever.
No, but if you're not a social justice warrior, you're kind of screwed. Now, they're not being as heavy-handed with it as they could be yet. Like a Sargon still making money, but he's worried on his channel, and he doesn't use a lot of profanity, and he's a leftist. He's just a free speech leftist.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if YouTube ever backpedals from this or not. So,
as far as the iPhone, I'm still not seeing why they would remove it. The design of the phone, it's not much thinner.
Well, it's not like they took the speaker out of the damn thing. If it didn't have a headphone jack or a speaker, I'd say, oh, they're leaving a DAC out. You know, that's a whole chip they can leave out of the design of the phone. Fine. But they're leaving the speaker in, which obviously you need for the phone. So, yeah. I don't know.
But it's obviously just to sell more stuff, like you said. Like...
Well, and maybe they really do believe that the headphone jack is antiquated. I mean, it's an analog port. It's an old design, but I mean, shit. The reason it's that usually when a design lasts that long, it's because it's good.
Yeah.
It's like 100 years old at this point.
Like, it doesn't really take anything complicated to make work. Like, you can rig up something that'll like it's such a simple design. It's so cheap to build.
Maybe that's the problem.
And it works.
They can't have a lockdown ecosystem with an open analog design like that. Maybe they like controlling the accessories that are out there.
Yeah, yes. Now you have to get our credit card reader if you want to use it on an iPhone.
Like, fuck you, I'll use an Android.
It still works on the iPad. The iPad still has the port.
The current versions
do, sure. But did they announce a new iPad?
Probably not yet.
No, so far the only announcements I've seen are on the watch and on
the
iPhone.
I thought it was the phone. I didn't see anything on it. Of course, I'm sure the new iPad won't have it either, but whatever. Let's move on. Let's see. First news topic for tonight is from Torrent Freak. Warner Brothers has flagged its own website as a piracy portal. Warner Brothers is vigorously trying to prevent pirated content from showing up in search results, but in doing so, the movie studio has shot itself in the foot. Recently, Warner asked Google to take down several of its own pages, claiming that they are copyright infringing. The movie industry has gone head-to-head with Google in recent years, demanding tougher anti-piracy measures from the search engine. According to Warner Brothers and other major studios, Google makes it too easy for its users to find pirated content. Instead, they would prefer Google remove such sites or sites like the Pirate Bay from its search results. Warner itself is also taking action by reporting pirated content to the search engine, asking it to be removed from the index. This year, the movie studio intensified its effort and thus far has flagged over 4 million allegedly infringing URLs. I don't think they realize that like scripts just generate URLs all the damn time. Like, oh no, we found another one. It's like, people aren't putting these up manually, dude. They're being generated. You realize that, right? You're like wasting time. You're like literally just wasting your time.
Oh, but they're getting paid to do it.
Well, that's true.
What if I want to watch Babylon 5? I was watching it on Warner Brothers' website. If they flagged it, I can't watch it on their legit website. I'll have to pirate it.
We use the term allegedly with good reason, as not all of the reports are accurate. In fact, this week we stumbled upon recent takedown requests that have some glaring errors. With help from its anti-piracy partner, Vobel, Warner asked Google to censor several of its own URLs from the search engine. Which means, yeah, Warner's not bothering to do it by hand either. They've also automated it. Which means they just flagged their own damned WarnerBrothers.com/Dark Knight, WarnerBrothers.com/The Matrix, WarnerBrothers.com/Lucky One.
If I worked at Google, I would just automatically okay all of those. Because if the person in charge of the site comes up and says, it's a pirated site, you have to take their word for it. It's their fucking website.
You just know there's a programmer out there who's just totally facepalmed when that news hit the... Yeah, when that news came out.
So...
Not only that, they need to forward them to the Motion Picture Association so that Warner Brothers can be properly sued. They've admitted to piracy.
Oh,
I mean, they could have cost Sony millions of dollars.
So our next article here is
the
from
Zionist Media Controlled Vice News.
Motherboard.vice.com. Google Chrome will start shaming unencrypted websites in January. Starting in January of 2017, Google's Chrome browser will start flagging some websites that don't use web encryption as not secure. The first step in Google's eventual plan to shame all sites that do not use encryption.
Only some? Why not all?
Well,
if it's a good idea, it's a good idea to do it. If it's not a good idea, don't do it. So shame all or shame none.
In the last couple of years, the web has seen a tremendous rise in the number of websites that use encryption, which is displayed by that little green lock next to the website's address and the extra S at the end of HTTP. And the increased use of HTTPS web encryption has been part of a collective effort to improve security and privacy on the web, often under the banner of the campaign Encrypt All the Things. Because, you know, we had to name it after a fucking Reddit meme. At the beginning of the year, Google hinted, without announcing it officially, that it was going to flag all unencrypted websites as insecure, as Motherboard reported. At the time, Parisa Tabriz, who manages Google's security engineering team, said that Google's intention was to call out websites that were still on HTTP as unsafe. On Thursday, Google announced its own anti-HTTP plan. The company isn't going to shame all unencrypted websites at once, but start only with HTTP websites that ask users to put in passwords and or credit cards. These sites will be flagged as not secure in the Chrome address bar. Okay, that right there, I'm cool with. Because, for example, Galaxy 15 Radio is not encrypted. I do not have an SSL certificate on that website. Because there is absolutely nothing on that website that I'm concerned about public. Now, there's the login panel for the WordPress instance, and now that is annoying, but I also know a thing or two about making sure my connection's safe before I go punching passwords in. Not the point. I only ever log in from one machine at home that it doesn't route funny. I make sure of that before I log in, but that's me, because I know what to look for a TLS man in the middle for the most part. But so not every website needs to be HTTPS. But if they ever ask you, if you're asking users to log in, that's different. Like me logging into my own website, okay, yeah, it's not the greatest thing in the world from a pure security standpoint, but I'm not asking everybody to punch in their passwords there. It's literally just the people who admin the thing. You know what I mean? So it's not like a forum. If it was a forum where people were logging in, yes, you would want that HTTPS because you cannot always guarantee a good connection. They could be in a coffee shop. They could have a man in the middle going on. God knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm of the opinion that not all websites need HTTPS. So, anyways, I mean, I don't mind going after the ones that say password or credit card because, well, especially a credit card because that just makes sense. So, in the future, Google is not saying explicitly when, Chrome will flag all sites that do not use TLS encryption as not secure and display a red triangle indicator, which Chrome is already using to alert users when they go to a dangerous website. So they're not doing a splash page or anything like that. They're just going to put it up in the address bar that it's not secure. I was kind of afraid it was going to be like the like when you go to a website that's on the malware list.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this website is not secure, and the only thing wrong with it is it doesn't use a certificate. So.
But yeah, if it's just in the address bar, I don't see it being too big of a deal. Because anybody who.
See it.
Yeah, like
there's enough people who don't pay attention to that shit already.
The people who don't understand it aren't going to care.
So.
Gainty's actually noted something in the IRC about our last story. Well, the first one. Did the audio jack being removed have anything to do with waterproofing? I don't think so, because Samsung still has it, and they have waterproof phones.
I have an S7 Edge. It's supposedly waterproof, and it has a headphone jack.
I understand it, like you could pretty much just spray the circuit board with like super hydrophobic material, and it's now waterproof. Like,
okay.
So yeah, they probably want to seal the case as best they can, but even if a bit of water gets in there, I think that you're still probably relatively safe at this point, if they actually go to that level of waterproofing.
Well, the S7 actually was having a problem where if you dunked it in water, the speaker wouldn't sound all that good, because apparently the waterproofing they used in there would hold on to it, and it would kind of muffle the sound. So I think they're using a combination of techniques. I don't think they're just spraying down the board with the hydrophobic stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like the headphone jack is probably sealed on the inside. So like you could get water inside of it, and it would not be great because it's still going to have little contacts in there. But if it's well sealed, it's not going to leak in from the jack. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
I just figured if I was logged into IRC, I might as well pay attention to our audience.
Yeah, no, that's what it's there for. So, speaking of, I didn't see any questions in the G15 subreddit, so.
But as far as the encrypted website, I can't see one other reason why they might not do it on all, is it would become the OK box of warnings.
Well, I mean, UAC on Windows already is. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just yet another thing of somebody saying, yes, it's fine, whatever. So. Anyways, let's do the next story. It's from Bloomberg.com. Playboy can block links to celebrity pictures, the EU court says.
Why is anyone going to Playboy anymore? There's just articles, guys.
I don't know. Playboy's Dutch publisher can stop a news and entertainment website from posting links to its images without permission, a top European court, European Union court said in a ruling that could reverberate across the internet. The European Court of Justice in Luxembourg said Ginstil, owned by GS Media, broke copyright laws when it published links to pictures of TV personality Britt Dekker without the permission of Sana Oy's Dutch unit, which runs Playboy in the Netherlands. Thursday's ruling, which guides a Dutch court making a final decision in the dispute, says the website may fall foul of copyright rules because the links were posted for profit in the full knowledge that the photos were published online without consent. And eye on profit, that's something dirty, according to the European clowns. Gene Still said in a statement on its website, the consequence is that from now on, you always run the risk of being sued just for placing a hyperlink. So I'm not going to bother with the rest of the article because it kind of goes into more detail of the ruling and stuff like this. Basically, the European court is saying that if a photo is copyrighted, you cannot post the URL to it without permission. Because ultimately, that's what a hyperlink is. It's a URL.
But looking at this, like, they basically just had to force them to take it down. There was no, like, punitive damages, were there? Like,
no.
I didn't. Okay. So, you know what? I'm okay with that. You know, if they want to ask you to take down a link to content that they own a copyright to, you know, that's being illegally posted, yeah, not the end of the world, as long as you're not being published or punished for it.
They were actually posting links back to their own servers. It wasn't like they downloaded the images and posted them somewhere else. They were just linking back to the original site.
Okay, were they like hot linking? Were like they were basically displaying the images that were being hosted on Playboy's site.
Yes.
And oh, okay.
These weren't behind a paywall.
I'm not a big fan of hot linking. I think that's kind of a douchebag thing to do.
I think it's always a great chance for shenanigans. The guy who runs textfiles.org, he used to have an image archive, and apparently some MySpace theme maker just hot linked to his images.
Yeah.
So he replaced a lot of them with Goatsy.
Fucking amazing.
And for years he was getting notices from people saying you have to put this image back. It was part of a theme that I was selling. he was getting people saying, why did you hack my MySpace page? And it's because they didn't understand what they were doing.
Yeah.
So hot linking, for anybody who's not aware, is like if I were to go into Galaxy 15, but Suave over on, say, the original ihavenothing.org site had a picture I wanted to host, and this is a terrible example because this one, I don't think Suave would care, and two, I wouldn't bother doing it this way. But let's say he had a picture I really wanted, but I was worried about the bandwidth costs on my website, you know, that unlimited bandwidth on the hosting plan we're both using. So I, instead of hosting the picture myself, I write my HTML such that it's referencing the picture on Suave's website.
Yeah.
And now this is stupid for a lot of reasons, but it was a really big practice back in the day when you were paying for bandwidth on your hosting. And it's kind of a douche move because it means that Suave's system is getting a lot of web traffic, but his pages aren't getting hits. It's just the pictures are getting pulled. So yeah. I'm using all of his bandwidth for posting these pictures, but at the same time, they're all showing up on my web pages. And it is kind of a douchebag move, but at the same time, it is just linking. I could also be like, oh yeah, check all these pictures out, and you know, have links to his page just links.
Well, yeah, like as far as crimes go, like that is super minor, and that's why I would be against them getting like punished for doing something like that.
But I'm not sure it's an actual crime.
Yeah, like, but they should be able to force somebody to stop doing that, because, like, you know, you might have some little, like, rinky-dink backwoods website on, like, a $5 a month host, and, like, some big, giant, huge traffic site hotlinks to one of your images and, like, just kills your package.
Well, it used to be called the dig effect.
Yeah. But at least then you were getting traffic.
Reddit effect.
Yeah, but at least then you were getting traffic and exposure.
Yeah, they were actually seeing your pages, so if you had ads or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, like let's say you're just like some little like photographer or something like that, and you have some high resolution image on your site, and somebody goes and throws it up on, you know, some other site, like that's totally going to screw you over. And yeah, so I'm not a big fan of that practice, and I definitely support any.
I don't think it's
to be
illegal.
Able to block it.
Well, it's an asshole saying, move. I just don't think it's illegal.
With the mechanics of the way common law works, they just said, I can be sued by you showing an image on your site and me directing someone to your site. So I'm not copying anything. I'm not taking ownership of anything or even credit for anything.
You're just saying it's over there.
But I'm saying it's over there. And now I'm getting sued. It would be similar to me saying there's an Encyclopedia Britannica in the public library if you want to go look at it, and then me getting sued for copyright infringement on an Encyclopedia Britannica, even though I don't have it in my house. I didn't steal it. I didn't shred it and copy it and print it out and, you know, give it to 1,000 people. I'm telling you, go to the library. You'll get an Encyclopedia Britannica there.
But does Encyclopedia Britannica have naked people in it?
Playboy doesn't either. That's why I don't know why anyone's even posting these. They took away the one selling point of a Playboy. And I don't want to completely diss the articles. They actually had some well-written, decent, thought-out political articles. I learned how to power shift from a Playboy. They had step-by-step instructions on how to do a 180 or a 360 in any manual car. So there were some decent articles. The reason you go to a Playboy and not any other source for anything isn't because of a well-written article. It's because they had a fucking naked chick.
Yeah.
Now they don't. Why the fuck do you go to Playboy at all?
What do you think, Swolf?
Well, I was just going to say, like, this is probably a pretty extreme case, and I'm sure that they probably made an effort to get this person to stop. Like, normally when something like this happens, you can just, like, you know, send them a quick message or be like, hey, you know, you're hot linking to an image on my site. Could you take down your link? And, yeah.
Is there a way to kill that on the site side?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you just replace it with, like, a single pixel or, you know, porn or
Goatsy.
Something. Yeah.
Blue waffle.
Yeah, but then the image that girl. I'm wanting to show is now porn on my site as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That's why it's stupid to do, is you have absolutely no control. That's why I was telling the story about text files. You have absolutely no control over an image you've hotlinked.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people don't understand that, as evidenced by all the emails the guy... what's his name? Jason Scott used to get about, you know, like, the images he swapped out for Goatsy because they were being used in MySpace themes.
Yeah, you're basically just giving them access to a little window on your website.
So, and by the way, most HTML systems are not very good at doing file system checks. So if you are doing some kind of image embed, it's not always going to catch if you name your PHP script .jpg. So, depending on how they're hotlinking it, you might be able to start injecting code on their website. So, it's a really bad idea because there's nothing to stop them from changing out that image to, you know, something horrible. Like, I don't know, who's the Green Party candidate? Damn it. I was going to make a really funny joke and I can't think of her name.
Oh, Dr. What's her cunt?
Yeah, so, you know, you suddenly your awesome background is swapped out for a vote for Dr. What's Her Cunt video, and, you know, there's not much you can do about it, except, you know, quit hot-liking.
I kind of want that to be your name now.
Jill Stein. Her name is Jill Stein.
I just Googled it, too.
I didn't Google it. I just remembered it. But I was... It's like, it's, anyways. Goats. Next story is from DSL Reports. Nashville has voted to approve new one-touch make-ready utility pole reform rules, despite heavy opposition from the area incumbents AT&T and Comcast. As we've been discussing, Google Fiber has been pushing for the rules, which would dramatically reduce the time it takes to attach new fiber to utility poles by letting one insured contractor move any company's gear on a pole. The reform, while relatively simple, would reduce the installation time of new fiber on utility poles by as much as 8 months. Google Fiber hopes the rules allow it to dramatically speed up the deployment of its ultra-fast gigabit broadband service. According to the Tennessean, the city council voted by a significant 32-7 margin to advance Google Fiber's proposed reform legislation. The city tells the paper it's expecting AT&T to sue over the new rules. AT&T has already sued Louisville for passing similar rules, arguing that the city council lacked the authority to make such a decision.
Okay.
What?
I don't know about Tennessee, but in Kentucky, a lot of these rules are supposed to be mandated by the state or approved by states. Kentucky has actually delegated most of its authority at a state level to individual counties when it comes to just about everything. So, fuck you, AT&T. Louisville can do what it wants.
Both AT&T and Comcast have tried to argue that one-touch make-ready rules will result in a dramatic spike in the number of network outages, though the companies also have a major incentive to make Google Fiber's expansion as difficult as possible, given it results in a notable spike in real competition. Involving the make-ready construction process is key to unlocking access or faster internet for Nashville, and this ordinance will allow new entrants like Google Fiber to bring broadband to more Nashvillians, efficiently, safely, and quickly. Google Fiber wrote in a blog post explaining its support of the rules. We look forward to continuing our work with blah 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 blah. So yeah, only 30. You know, they need over 88,000 utility poles prepped. Only 33 have been properly prepped. So now there is the argument there that, you know, you're saying any licensed contractor can touch other companies' equipment. And generally, yeah, in business, that is a no-no, that you don't fuck with other people's stuff.
But, like, well, this is clearly a case of
AT&T and Comcast are not going to,
like,
help Google Fiber.
Being clearly anti-competitive with their practice of, like, taking 8 months. Like, that's completely unreasonable. Like, if you, like, yeah.
I want to point out, most companies' equipment wasn't placed where it is through the practice of eminent domain.
That's also true.
Whenever they're using the government to get their shit somewhere, they don't have as much right to that actual property as if they bought the land and put the pole there. They didn't.
Well,
Nashville put the pole there.
True. I'm not arguing that. And I actually agree with this decision. However, what do you do when the contractor who's moving your equipment to make room for the other, you know, utility goes up, say, accidentally busts a fiber line or cuts a line they shouldn't, or, you know,
I
want to
point out,
an outage?
That's why licenses supposedly exist. If you're worried about that, why are we having licensed contractors? Once you have the license, it's saying, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not arguing that this is a good thing. Don't misunderstand.
Yeah.
I agree with the decision. I'm just simply pointing out that they may have a point that having a whole bunch of people touching parts all the time so you can move in new equipment could lead to more fuck-ups.
And it could, but that's also why they threw in the licensed requirement. And I would kind of like to point out, at least when it comes to cable with Insight, possibly Time Warner, since they bought up the cable in this area, they're not using their techs for that.
No,
they
outsource. Contractors.
So they already don't have a problem with a contractor not with their company touching their stuff.
All this whiskey is evaporated.
It happens.
Damn.
Hopefully it evaporated into you and not, you know, into the air. Because You'd need to start breathing hard, or I might have to slap you for wasting alcohol.
Alright. Next article is from helpnetsecurity.com. Mirai, Linux Trojan, corrals IoT devices into DDoS botnets. For anyone who's enjoying the alphabet soup, Internet of Things devices into DDoS attacks, or distributed denial of service botnets.
Hold up, you mean my refrigerator can attack people?
Yes.
Fucking amazing!
Mirai, or M-I-R-A-I. Mirai? 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 I don't actually know how to say that. A newly discovered and still poorly detected piece of Linux malware is being used to rope IoT devices into DDoS botnets. Researchers from Malware Must Die, awesome domain, have recently gotten their hands on several variants of the threat and discovered the following things. It comes in the form of a typical ELF file. We're not talking about a file with pointy ears, by the way. Executable file format, basically. It targets routers, DVRs, web IP cameras, Linux servers, Internet of Things devices running BusyBox. So anything with BusyBox on it, which is a pretty wide range of shit, like TiVos have BusyBox on them. Attackers first gain shell access to the target device by taking advantage of the fact that most of them have a default password set for SSH or Telnet, so they go in and load the malware. Malware sets up several delayed processes, then deletes malicious files that might alert users to its presence. It then starts opening ports and establishes contact with its bot masters and scans for other accessible devices to infect. They consider Mirai to be a direct descendant of the older Trojan dubbed Gafgut, G-A-F-G-Y-T. I'm going to assume that that's Klingon, which is one of the main contributors to the rise of DDoS for hire services. In order to protect their devices from this threat, administrators are advised to close up their Telnet service. Good God, you're running Telnet on the internet still to this day? They don't know it's there. I have to assume they don't know it's there because they went out and bought an IP camera and just hooked up. Block TCP 48101 port, and to make sure their BusyBox execution can only be run for a specific user. So, yeah, Madman, if your refrigerator runs BusyBox, which in the future is going to be more likely than you think, yes, it could be attacking other devices on the internet.
I think my refrigerator can take out your laptop.
So many of these devices have microphones or cameras and stuff like that embedded in them.
But they all have some functional equivalent of a Raspberry Pi embedded into them.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's running, some version of Linux, usually, and that's just what it is. I mean,
but just imagine having access to basically Big Brother level of information inside of so many homes. There's not a whole lot you could do with it. I guess you could start trying to blackmail people, but that's not really going to work out well.
Depending on the angles of the cameras, you're going to start stealing their money.
No. They don't care what the devices they're getting into are. All they care about is they're an IP address on the internet that they can use to generate DDoS traffic. Because what they're doing is they're going to some random porn or gambling or other kind of site that's as likely to go to the authorities for help and say, your big profit day coming up. You're going to give us $10,000 or we're going to shut your website down. And if they don't pay up, they have all these IoT devices just blast their website with shitty traffic, trying to shut them down so that it costs them more. I picked the number out of my butt. Usually the smart ones try to gauge it so that they're asking for less money than they're going to lose. Make it look like a profitable deal. But that's what it is. It's standard blackmail. But it's just kind of interesting that they're targeting IP cameras and DVRs to do it.
Oh, all they need to do is have it try to connect to a site. That's what a DDoS attack is, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
No real horsepower behind it. Traffic.
Not for individual devices if you can get a couple hundred thousand of the damn things. And apparently, since they've all got default passwords on them, which doesn't actually surprised me, considering I broke into some digital signage a couple of years ago because it all had shitty passwords on it. Turns out that was the manufacturer's backdoor password, and it was hard-coded, and they couldn't change it. Dig up that report and see if I can start finding some of those things on the internet again.
Oh!
Fun fact, it was 42 spelled backwards.
We could start playing Overwatch on Jumbotrons across the nation.
I don't know that I play good enough to make it worth doing that.
I don't care. Because some of these could be in professional stadiums. Pittsburgh Steelers game gets preempted for an Overwatch crappy match. Yes.
All right, let's... oh, shit, look at the time. Let's blast through these last couple of stories here. PC World, Adobe is reviving Flash for Firefox on Linux after 4 years of not updating it. It's kind of funny. They're saying we're just doing security patches. We're not gonna add new features and all this other stuff to it. But that means enough people are still using it that they figured it was better to patch it and fix the security holes than just try to tell people to quit it.
Flash will never die, dude. It is the cockroach of the internet.
So it makes me wonder, is it still worth having a SwishMax license? Nobody else knows what I'm talking about. It's an alternative Flash authoring tool because it was really easy to use. Last story. Oh, no. I'm sorry. We're into this.
Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
All right, so the first thing I've got up in Digital Dojo tonight is from labs.mrinfosecurity.com, and this is cool. It's a complete write-up of how to write malicious Outlook rules. So, Suave, you get it.
I use Outlook at work.
So, obviously, you probably haven't dug into the rules, have you, Madman?
No, because they don't like me going places on the on our network that I'm not supposed to go, and our internet security guys are allowed to track my shit and fish me.
So, what Outlook rules are is if you have, like, if you get a lot of email from one company, and it would be handy to you to sort out that company into its own folder, when you say, okay, make a filter, and all email coming from this address put into this folder, and all email coming from this address mark it as red and put it into the trash folder, those are Outlook rules. So this is talking about making Outlook rules that when they see email coming from certain addresses, they do things like open up remote shells. Yeah, so they've written an executable called xrules.exe that lets them write Outlook rules. So, anyways, there's that. Oh, Suave dropped. We lost Suave. I was getting ready to get to the best part before he dropped. The last link I have in Digital Dojo tonight is from Immove. This is a French designer who is designing an open source Android.
Like an open source robot.
A human-shaped robot with 3D printable components, and they've got open source code and logic and circuitry to run the thing. Creepy. Okay, the eyes on this thing are creepy looking, okay? Because they're cameras. They're cameras in the place of irises. And they're in this thing's head, but it's an open source 3D printable Android robot, and he's designing all the parts. Like, okay, go 3D print the hand, go 3D print the arm. Here's the wiring for a hand. Here's the wiring for using an Arduino. He's got a board he's selling that's supposed to be the central brain of it. Here's the software you put on your laptop to control the Android. This is build a data.
The servos and the electronics would always, I would think, would be the actual difficult parts of that.
Nah, those just cost money.
Well, because you're doing an arm with a hinge on it and possibly a rotator at the shoulder.
Yeah, so, and he's put out the designs for it, so all you have to do is order the components and assemble.
You could almost just have 3D imaged some mannequins for that. So I'm not thinking possibly as awesome. Maybe if it has a picture.
Okay, go to the website and start looking through the pictures in the blog. You're not understanding here. He's got the mechanics of a lot of the motion worked out. The kinematics, how to make the fingers move, how to make the arm move, how to rotate. He's got the software written. He's got all of this stuff.
Now, the software writing, that's pretty cool. This coding takes forever.
Yeah, but he's got the mechanics worked out. Like the engineering work of how to make sure that this hand can open and close, how to make sure it can move its arm, how to make sure it can look around the room. Where to put the sensors in the chest so it could walk around. He's done a lot of the heavy lifting. Like, if Big wanted to make his sex robots, this would be a starting place. So, and the damn thing is creepy, but I may have to start printing the arms, at least the hands. But actually, right now, my goal is to design and 3D print a giant mechanical spider. And by giant, I mean like a couple of feet that I can put on some people's desk at work and have it rear up and hiss at them when they go in their office.
Okay. Why do you want to build a weaver? You just said why you wanted to build a weaver spider.
I've got some people who are deathly afraid of spiders, and I think it would be hilarious if they walk in and there's a, you know, 3-foot spider on their desk that moves. You don't find that concept funny?
Oh, I find it hilarious. You might want to, if you're wanting something quick and cheap that does that, look into the Angry Stupid box. I'm sorry, the Angry Useless box, and then just put a giant spider on top of it.
Yeah, but if I 3D print a robot, There's some badass points to that, you know?
Yes.
Like this 3D printed mechanical weaver spider that leave on somebody's desk and walk in, it rears up, hisses at them, and scurries away. I want to see how quickly some people leave the building if they see like a 3-foot spider on their desk, you know what I mean?
I want to take them on a canoeing trip through Peru.
And here we have a tarantula. Wow, no. I didn't know he could climb trees like that. You know they live up there, right?
Oh, it's a rafting trip that goes through a cave. They suggest you stay in the middle of the river. They won't tell you why until you get to the other end of the cave.
With all the spiders all over your canoe?
This cave is the home of some Goliath spiders. So think a dinner plate, except it also has legs and is a spider. The spiders aren't dangerous, because Goliath spiders being big, ugly, freaky-looking, horrible things, their venom's not particularly toxic to humans, and now their hair is kind of an allergen, so it's annoying if you have pet dander allergies. But, the big problem is the venomous snakes that eat the spiders. If you get too close to the wall, a spider might fall on your, boat, which will either cause you to jump out of the boat and get possibly bitten by exceptionally poisonous venomous snakes, or a snake might see lunch and come in your butt. Fucking amazing.
That's funny. That's
stay in
funny.
The middle.
Always stay in the boat. Always stay in the fucking boat.
That is a creepy looking face.
But, I don't know. I just need to 3D print a robot just because it'd be awesome. But, yeah, that thing is, it's just like, wow, the amount of work he's already done. So if you wanted to, you know, build a robot, there's the template, right? Because he's got a lot of the work done. No AI, obviously. It's all just computer-controlled, you know, humanoid robot. But I guess if you wanted to try to build a Jarvis.
Oh, no, you'd just stick Siri in its head. Oh no. The crazy Twitter bot.
Yes!
It needs a body. So if it had its own body, we couldn't edit it anymore.
Well, we completed the robot. We put the Twitter bot in it. And after 4chan talked to it for an hour, it's been humping the dog ever since. We don't know why.
Every once in a while, it yells Zig Heil and both it and the dog salute.
That's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. The Galaxy 15 Radio website, the subreddit is probably the best place to send us feedback. Post questions on the subreddit. I'll answer them. Probably drunkenly and incorrectly, but we'll at least try to address them. That's all I've got for tonight. Madman, you got anything? We lost Swap before we hit the robot. I was kind of hoping he was going to be on for that because he would have gone nuts.
No, I don't have anything.
All right. Do I have any funny sound effects? We got this. Not playing. Why is it not playing? It's broken. I broke it.
Holy shit.